We live in a crazy world, don't we? Oh, it's amazing to think how crazy, and I don't know another word that you could use other than that, but I'm sure there's others. But boy, I tell you, it's our world is ever-changing. Brother Baker is talking about in Sunday school about being in Colorado for 25 years at this previous church before the one he's at now. Brother Baker, 25 years ago, did you ever think that things would be as they are now? No. Well, I tell you, it's amazing. We got Kim and Joyce and that row right there of our senior saints. Boy, I tell you, it's one of my favorite rows right there. I love those ladies. And then you continue right across, and you got Mrs. Jordan and Diana, Brother Newman, and his wife Lynn there. And I tell you, Dan, did you ever think that it would come to this 25 years ago? Well, when you're starting out in the military, you ever think that there would be a lady that would go out and post a picture of her holding a mock head of our commander in chief, bloodied the way that was? You ever think that? But yet, today, there are people that wouldn't even bat an eye at that. There are people that are defending her and saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. She's just trying to be funny, or she's just this or that. And they get on there and they use vulgarity and as a reference our president and all of that. And I think, wow, we've come to this. I've always been the one, regardless of what you think of the president of the United States, he's the president of the United States. I didn't agree with everything that President Obama did, but he's my president. When he served his 8 years, he was my president. I gave him the respect of being the president of the United States, even though I may not agree with everything that he's done. I dare say that there has not been one president that our country has had where I've agreed 100% on every single thing that they have done as the president. And you know what? In the future, there's not going to be a president where we're going to agree 100% on everything that they did. Mike Huckabee, he was a Baptist preacher that ran for the presidency. Somebody that has similar beliefs as we do as far as the Bible and different things. If he was voted in as the president of the United States, there are probably going to be decisions that he made that we as a church would not agree on. That's just the way it is. But to sit there and to make a mockery of it and then depict him the way that they have, it's unbelievable. And yet there are people, I was reading articles on it where and some of the comments where people were just coming and saying, boy, he deserves that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And this is the world that we live in. It used to be years ago, maybe people don't know this, there used to be laws that actually you could get prosecuted for committing adultery. I remember I was in probably 6th or 7th grade, and we took a law education class, and we had a book. This was probably about 1990 or so, and it had all the different laws that you could be arrested for and prosecuted for. And I remember in 1990 looking in that book and finding where it says that you can be arrested for committing adultery. Now, it's openly discussed about. Now, it doesn't matter. Now it's okay. Now there are people that are talking about how plural marriage is nothing wrong with that. And now people say that we were designed by nature to have an open marriage and not be tied to one person and this and that. And I think, and there are people that believe that. And I think, boy, wow. Our country, America, that used to be called a godly nation. Can we say that anymore? That we have a God as our focal point for our country. When our founding fathers created the Constitution and created all the different things that serve as the backbone of our country, it was based off of biblical principles. You go to Washington, D.C., and throughout the monuments, what do you see on them? The Scripture. They wanted something that was pure, like the Word of God, to be there, to be the backbone of our country, because they knew that if we followed it, we would at least be a moral country. And now we have people that are getting in and wanting to change that to where they say that America is no longer a Christian nation. And with that, we have lost the idea of holiness in our churches. Holiness. I love singing that song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holiness is important to God. As a matter of fact, he's in heaven, they have the angels that fly around that throne and with the six wings, and two that cover their face, and two that cover their feet, and two that fly. And they say, Lord, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Non-stop. Why? Because holiness is important to God. Holiness. What's going to fix our country? What's going to make our country where we could get back to saying that Great Falls is a Christian town? One of my friends that was here with during our missions conference, Brother Vong, who's a missionary to Cambodia, and we were talking as we went out visiting, and he said, I'm amazed at how many bars and casinos are in Great Falls. I said, oh yeah, it's an epidemic. I mean, it's bad. What's going to stop that? Well, it's not going to be our legislator that's going to stop then. It's not going to be putting the right person and electing them into office. It's not going to depend on who our governor is or who our state representative is or who our senators are or who we elect in our committees and different things and all the different things that are in the political realm. Our county commissioners, city commissioners, our mayor. It doesn't matter who those individuals are. They will not make our town holy. They won't. They're not going to bring America back. President Trump, his slogan was, make America great again. The only way to make America great again is to make it great again spiritually. And a president can't do that. But a church can. A church can. Our church, if we get under and beg God and pray and seek God and have a desire to want to be right with God and then to share that with other people, we as Heritage Baptist Church could change Great Falls, Montana. We could have a revival that starts right here in our church as it stirs up, and then as it spills out over into Cascade and Ulm and the Belt and other places, and it could start right here. But it starts with Christians who want to be holy. There has to be a difference. There has to be something that separates us from somebody else, from the world, from other people. Where somebody says, there's something different about this place, what is it? And it's the sense that we want to be holy. I was on Facebook, and a gentleman that I went to school with had posted an article and had a discussion that was going about music and the contemporary music in churches. And I put on there and I said, they were talking about how churches, their decisions and what they need to do. And I put on there, I said, what a church needs to focus on is two things. Number one, it needs to focus on the doctrine of the Word of God. We have to be doctrinally correct. I said it in Sunday school this morning. I am so glad that we have a pastor, and so many other people said the same thing. I am so glad that we have a pastor that cares about the doctrine of the Word of God and takes the stand for it and says, "Thus saith the Word of God." We need to focus on doctrine. We need to be doctrinally correct. The Bible says a virgin birth, it's a virgin birth. If the Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith, then that's what we believe. If the Bible says that we're supposed to be scripturally baptized, immersed underwater, representing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to be done after salvation as a picture, then that's what we do. That's Bible. And we have to continue to focus on that because there are a lot of other churches that are watering down their doctrines and saying it's not a big deal to change if we change the Bible from the King James to something else. But it is. It's not a big deal if we just soften up on our music or soften up on these areas here. We don't have to go out and knock on doors and invite people to church and witness to them and be a witness in our society. We can blend in. There's nothing wrong with social drinking or this or that. Yes, there is. Why? Because we're called to be holy. And that's the second thing that the church needs to focus on. And when we have those two things correct, when we have our doctrine correct, and then we want to live our lives as a holy, separated life unto God, then we can make a difference. But our churches will never make a difference until we decide to be holy. It's a commandment from God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment to be holy. He didn't say, "Well, you know, it's a good idea if you would want to be holy." That's not what the Bible says. He says, "Be ye holy." That's a declarative sentence. That is a statement. And a statement from the Lord then becomes a commandment to us. When He tells us to do something, it's a commandment. We're to be holy. People are looking for Christians that are real. Brother Hobbs was talking this morning about we're talking in Sunday school about what brought you to our church and what makes you stay. And he said, "One of the things I loved about our church is that people were just real. There's no facade. There's no mask, there's no cover, there's no dress up, there's no playing the part. You get what you get. This is who we are. There's no hiding it. There's no dress up to it. This is who we are." But we need to take that next step and encourage ourselves. And you say, "Well, I'm already holy." Well, let's be a little bit holier than what we are now. Now, I'm not saying that we should be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. To where all we do is focus and shelter ourselves away from everything else. That's not Bible either. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world, which means we still have connections and people that we have to talk with. But we should want to be holy. So what gets in the way of us being holy? What stops us from taking that next step and cleaning up things in our lives and wanting to draw closer to God and say, "All right, I want to live my life as God would want me to"? There's a book, and I've mentioned it before, In His Steps, where church got burdened And it's where they get the phrase of what would Jesus do. And the pastor got burdened about how living his life as if Jesus were to command him to do it, what would he do? What would Jesus want me to? And they saw a revival that swept through that church because they started to ask themselves, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus go here? Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus say this? How would Jesus treat this individual? If my memory serves me correct, it's been a while since I read that book, but I believe it started with the pastor, somebody coming to his house and knocking on the door, and they pretty much refused him and because he didn't look the part, dressed up and all that. And then boy, it got burdened because, and I might be wrong on this, but where the man passed away. And there's no compassion. But do we ask ourselves that? Do we live our lives how God would want us to? Or do we live our lives how we want to? What makes us happy? What makes us satisfied? What trips us up as Christians to where we cannot live a holy life is summed up in 1 John chapter 2. In verse 16 it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." That, in a nutshell, is what keeps us from being holy. It is not because the Word of God is not powerful enough, because it is. It is not because God's blood isn't strong enough, because it is. It's because of our choices. It's not because of the church that we attend. It's not because of anything else. You can't say, well, I'm not getting fed by the pastor, and so that's the reason why. No, it's not it. It all comes down to three things. What stops us from being holy? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's all summed up right there. Jesus was tempted in this manner. You look at the three different things that Satan tempts him in. He tempts him first off with the lust of the flesh, the food, the desires that he had. I can imagine being tempted for 40 days, not having any food. And some would say, well, what's the big deal of Satan come along? Why didn't Jesus just turn the stones into bread? There was a point that was there. Jesus was fasting for a reason. He was there. He was showing us how that we're supposed to live as a Christian. And that's his life here on earth. Part of it was to be sacrificed, but then also it was to show us how a Christian could live a victorious Christian life. And you see him time and time again as he is tempted, where he uses Scripture to combat his temptations. It is written, time and time again, with the lust of the flesh. Basically, that's summed up as in whatever we want. Somebody once made the comment and said, this is years ago, where Satan does not want us as Christians to become alcoholics. It's not his purpose. Satan does not want us to become drug addicts or murderers. Although if we chose that, he would not be opposed to it. But his focus and goal for Christians is to live their life, to get them to live their life how they want to. How their flesh feels like. Why? Well, you know, I really don't feel like going to church today. Anybody ever said that before? My hand's raised. Somebody once said, the guy was standing there and said, I don't want to go to church today. His wife came in and said, you have to, you're the pastor. They said, Jonathan Edwards, I believe Jonathan Edwards, they'd have to pull him to the pulpit because he was just so scared to stand up and preach. Yesterday, my wife and I went to Sam's Club. Yeah. Now me, I am like my father. There are certain places I like to go. I like to be down on the river fishing. I like that. And I love having a fishing pole in my hand to be off at Holter Lake, either at Black Beach or up in the dam, depending on what I'm going for. But I love being at Black Beach, back in the back, sitting on a lawn chair with my line out in the water, just absolutely relaxing. I like that. Scott, golf, right? Boy, getting out on that golf course and teeing up. It's relaxing. Unless you don't know what you're doing, or you're golfing with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, then it's not relaxing. But I was at Sam's Club, and I, like my dad, do not like Walmart, nor do I like Sam's Club. Why? Because there are people there. And sometimes people don't act the same way that I would act. People raise their kids how I wouldn't raise my kids, and you hear them, and there's no discipline or whatnot, and I don't like it. My wife looked at me and she said, after we'd been there for a while and just about ready to go, and she said, you really don't want to be here today, do you? And I said, nope. But said, I've learned, though, that there are times when you have to do things that you don't like. I said, so I'm here. And then we went to another store and whatnot after that. Because why? If we don't, there's no food in the house. I don't know about you, but I like food in the house, especially my wife's cooking. It's good. And so there are times where we learn as adults that there are things. Monday morning's going to come, which means you're going to have to go to work. But Curtis, has there ever been time where you just don't want to go to work? And so you say, I'm not going to go to work. So I don't feel like it, right? Wouldn't that be nice? He's sitting there thinking, yeah, I work a lot. That man puts in a lot of hours. All of us, we'll go, Monday morning comes along, man, I don't want to go to work. But we do. Why? Because we know we have to. Because if we don't work, we don't eat. There's no paycheck coming in. It's amazing how in our lives there are things that we know that we have to do. We don't want to do them, but we do them because we have to, such as work, grocery shopping, paying your bills. I don't know anybody that gets so excited when they see their mortgage payment come in. Oh, yeah, I get to pay my mortgage today. Oh, yes, I got this medical bill. I'm so excited to send my money off to them. But we do it. Because we're supposed to. Because we know we have to. Because we know the consequences if we don't. But yet when it comes to our Christian life and there are things that we're supposed to do, where God has said, hey, go to church. Hey, read my Bible. Spend time in prayer. Tithe. Do all these different things. Share the gospel. Minister to other people. Have compassion towards others. And we think, I don't want to have compassion towards them. You know what they did or said to me? I don't want to do that. I don't want to go Sunday night to church. I want to relax. Don't you know what's going on in my life? How crazy it is? How busy I am? And we can reason it out to why we don't want to do what we know we should do. Because our flesh is weak. We get tempted in that area and then we succumb to it. We don't take the stand that we used to. We don't do the things that we used to. Why? Because our flesh is weak. Second, the lust of the eyes. We have an epidemic in our country of pornography. What's that based off of? Lies of what we see. It's a problem. The lust of the eyes. Not just in that area too, but there are other areas too that the lust of the eyes comes in. Jealousy. Oh, the Terrys, did you see their nice new car? I wish I could have a nice new car. Boy, I wish I could have this. Boy, I wish I could have that. Boy, sure would be nice, wouldn't it? If you can fill in the blank. Why? Because we look and we see. And then when, based off of what we see, we want. And that temptation is there. And we succumb to it. Because of what we see. Boy, look at that family. Look at how things are going for them. I wish things were going like how it is for them as it is for me. And we get that enviness that comes in because of our eyes. And yet we don't see the problems that they have. We just see the outward. And our eyes affect us. And then our eyes affects our heart. Which it could be a good thing. Boy, I tell you, when I was in Dominican Republic with Pastor Shear, my eye affected my heart in a good way. It gave me a purpose and a drive to go to college and to finish my degree and to do something for God because my eye affected my heart. But there are sometimes when our eye affects our heart and it's not for the right things. And it creeps in. All of the sin, I guess you could say with the lust of the eyes, all comes back to one thing. Is a lack of contentment. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm happy with what I have. Why is pornography so running rampant? Because people have a desire for something that they don't have. They're not content. Why is jealousy so rampant where people have problems with it? Because they're not content. Enviness. Materialism. I want to go buy this. Why? Because I want to have it. But I can't afford it. I'll figure out a way. And we get our eyes, and then next thing you know, then the offering plate comes by, and we think, boy, I don't have any money. Why? Because I blew it on all this stuff that I don't really need, and I can't pay my tithes because I don't have any money because of a lack of contentment. We're not happy with the things that God has given us. We want more. More stuff. More things. We're always having that empty craving, rather than just saying, God has given me what I need to be happy. And He knows what I need, and He's given me what I need to be happy. I'm just going to bank on that and be content. Rather than always looking for that new and improved. The phone industry, what do? They make an iPhone. So what do? Well, everybody has an iPhone, so let's make an iPhone 2. And 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Samsung Galaxy 8. So what's going to come out? Eventually the 9. Why? Because people aren't content with what they have. There's always the push for more. And there'll be people that will say, all right, I'm going to stand in line and I'm going to get this new and improved thing and it's better than my phone and it has two features that my phone doesn't have, but I'm going to spend all this money and get this because it's better than what I have. The lack of contentment. They're not satisfied. They want more. And they go after and they spend all their money and they go after all these materialistic things, the clothes, the appearance. Why? Because they want people to look at them, which then leads to the third thing, the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I don't know about you, but pride is very difficult to overcome. Why? Because I care about me more than anybody else. There's one person I take really good care of, it's me. And pride sneaks in and gets a hold of us. See, boy, when you look at this passage, you think, how do you get pride out of that? It says, well, he takes him, in verse 9, brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. If you're this great individual, show it. Show off your ability to have the angels swoop in and save you, lest your foot dash upon a stone. Show off your ability. And Jesus, answering and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Pride. What does the Bible say about pride? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Number one, a proud look. A proud look. Why is it that God hates pride? Well, it's very simple. In six literal days, God created this beautiful place that we call home here on earth. In six literal days, Jesus went from nothing and created light. He created the atmosphere. He created space. He threw the stars out there, arranged the planets, spun the earth on its axis, created land, water, fish, the birds, the animals, the trees, all these different things he put in place. He made the cattle and the creeping things, put man in the middle of it and said, here you go. Why? All things were made by him for him. For him. I am created for God. For his pleasure. I'm created for his enjoyment. That's why my actions should be based off of what would he want me to do, because I'm created for him. When we let pride sneak in, we make ourselves bigger than what it is, and we elevate ourselves outside of where we're supposed to be. And God says, wait a minute. That's not where you're supposed to be. Nobody wants to say that we want to elevate ourselves to the status where God is, because we're not brave enough to actually say it. Because we know that Satan wanted to be equal with God, and we look and see what happened to him. And so nobody will actually say, well, I want to elevate myself. But yet, if you look at the religions that are out in the world today, and a lot of them are based off of elevating yourself to become like God. Go be, have your planet that you will be the God over. You will rule over it and take care of it and tend to it, and then in a sense, people will worship you. It's all about elevating yourselves. That pride sneaks in. And we think, boy, I can sing. I'm the best singer there is. Yeah, because God gave you the voice. We lose our perspective when we get the pride of life that comes in. Everything that we have is because of God. My marriage that I have is because God allowed me to have my wife. She was created for me. Without Him, I don't have her. Without her, I don't have my kids. Everything that I have, God gave me the job that I have through His divine intervention. He allowed me to have it. When I was in college, I prayed and begged God. I said, God, give me the job that I need that'll take care of my finances all the 4 years of my college. And He did. If it wasn't for Him, I wasn't qualified to do the things that I was doing. I wasn't qualified to have the job that I have now. God intervened, though, and arranged it so that I would. And it's all because of Him. The health that I have, that's because of God. The health that my family has, it's because of God. The vehicle that I drive, it continues to run. Why? Because God allows it to. If God ever changed that desire and said, hey, I want you to have a flat tire, guess what I'm going to have? A flat tire. And there's nothing that I can do to prevent that. It's going to happen. Why? Because that's what God wanted. Because He's in control of it. And regardless of what I think about myself, it doesn't change the fact that God is the Almighty God who is in control of everything. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He's the one that does all this and takes care of everything. And all things were made by Him for Him, which includes me. And everything in my existence is for His honor, His glory. So who am I to say, I'm this great person? Who am I to say, I'm so wonderful? We won't say it, but we sure do think it. We sure do think it. And we let that pride get in. And if we don't deal with it, it ruins us. It ruins us. I don't know about you, but I don't like being around a know-it-all. Anybody here love being around a know-it-all? That just knows everything, has the answer for everything, and just walks around pompous and just ask me any questions, I'll tell you the answer. Nobody likes that. So why do we think that we should be that way? But we get an elevated opinion of ourselves rather than having the opinion that God has of us. I am a sinner, saved by grace. That's the root of it. Without God, I die and go to hell. Without Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, I die and go to hell. For all eternity. Why? Because I'm just a sinner. I make choices and they're wrong. I depend on God and I make the right decisions. Why? Because it's about Him. All I am is a sinner saved by grace. And when I have that mentality and I keep that mindset and I keep the right opinion of myself, of what God's opinion of me is, my righteousness is as filthy rags. The best that I could do are dirty, nasty rags. But yet we allow the pride of life to sneak in and ruin us. And then what happens? Rather than living a holy, separated life, we live a life of sin. Because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we go out and we try to invite people to church and they say, why? There's no difference between you and me. Why should I? Why should I waste my time? Why should I watch what I do on Saturday so that I have to make sure that I'm in church on Sunday? Why can't I just sleep in? There's no difference between us. There's no holiness that's there because we've succumbed to temptation. And when that happens, we lose our influence. and the world becomes a mess because Christians are not holy. Let's pray, dear Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that I would have a desire to live holier than what I've been. Lord, that I would pay attention to these three areas and that I would have Scripture memorized to use it to combat the temptations that we have. Lord, that I would remember that it's about You. Lord, that I could live a holy life so that others would see my good works and glorify my Heavenly Father. Their heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. A short time of invitation. It's hard to live a holy life if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You can try to be the best you can be, but you will always fall short because you don't have Jesus. If you're here today and say, that's me, I don't know today if I were to die, if I were to go to heaven, would you pray for me? I'd like to pray for you if you just lift your hand up. All right. Second, if we're all saved, we're all on our way to heaven, are we living a holy, separated life? Or do we allow the temptation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to creep in? Holy, holy, holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. And ask everyone to stand to your feet. The piano's just going to play. The altar's open. We have plenty of time. If you need to pray, come pray. If there's something that you need to get right with God, let's not hold back. Are we living a holy life? Is there something different about us? Or are we just chameleons that just blend right in? No difference. Satan comes along and just puts a little temptation out there, the lust of the flesh. Do what you want. Don't worry what the Bible says. Just do what you want. The lust of the eyes? Are we content with what God has given us? And the pride of life? Dear Lord, I thank You for this morning. Lord, I pray that we would leave with a passion and a desire to live how You would want us to live a holy, separated life. Be with our pastor, Lord, as he's away from us. And I pray that You just give him a good time down there and help him to be a blessing and an encouragement to that church and to Pastor Rudy down there, Lord, and bring them home safely. And get the service tonight with the Golden State coming in your name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.